السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ و فضل کرم ان احسان of اللہ تعالی. اللہ تعالی has allowed for us to sit for a short while and make some مذاکرہ of a very senior person from the اہل بیت, the family of حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And this is none other than Sayyida Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned with regards to her that she is the most virtuous of my daughters who suffered on account of her relationship to me. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to this daughter of his, Sayyida Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This term Ahle Bayt, we hear this term all the time, Ahle Bayt, Ahle Bayt. Who are the Ahle Bayt? The Ahle Bayt are, to start off with, the Honorable Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Honorable wives of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mothers of the Ummah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een, and members of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family who accepted Islam and upon whom zakat is prohibited. The family of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they cannot accept zakat. So this is the Banu Hashim and the Banu Muttalib. And most definitely, the honorable children of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to be part of this household, have to be part of the Ahle Bayt. If anybody talks about a household, then it refers to the husband, the wife, the children. After that, other people will be included. It is only the Shia who exclude the Ummatul Mu'mineen and the children of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Ahle Bayt. But here, that is a different topic. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 7 children. There were 3 sons and 4 daughters. And all these children of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the children of Ma Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, save for one son, Ibrahim, who was the son of Hazrat Maria Qibtiyya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was plus minus about 10 years of age when Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed of his nubuwat. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a Nabi even before the world was created. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed of his nubuwat at age 40. And at this time, Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha was plus minus 10 years of age. So if we look at it from that point of view, we will see that she was already of an understanding age. Right? She was the eldest daughter. She was of an understanding age. And how much she must have benefited from Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, you know, normally we hear that the first person to accept Islam was Ma Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Then the first man to accept Islam was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The first slave to accept Islam was Hazrat Zaid radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the first boy to accept Islam, young boy to accept Islam, was Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The first girls to accept Islam were the honorable daughters of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Ruqayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Fatimatu Zahra, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Right? So they were from the first people to have accepted Islam. Right? Her tarbiyat is made by none other than Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first Muslim home. Every member of this household was an adherent of Islam and is viewed as a legend by the Muslims. This is that honorable household, the household of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's time, we have an ustad, some people have a sheikh, They said, no, this is the Sheikh's son. This is the Sheikh's family. This is the Sheikh's mother. This is Ammi Jan, the Sheikh's wife. And we consider it, you know, like a thing of honor to be able to serve the family of our Sheikh, the family of our Ustad. Imagine the family of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honorable family. The most honorable family to ever walk the surface of the earth is the family, the household of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, obviously, on the one hand, her father is Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we have to begin talking about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then, you know, we won't be able to talk about anything else. On the other hand, her mother is Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So naturally, the sifat of strong iman, honesty, wafadari, loyalty, sidq, truthfulness, commitment, qurbani, mujahada for deen, etc. These were ingrained in her nature from a very young age. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her marriage later on was to Abul As bin Rabi. Abul As bin Rabi, he was a very successful, affluent businessman of Makkah Mukarramah. In fact, the people used to call him the cub of the flatland. The cub of the flatland. And also he was given the title of Al-Amin. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as a trustworthy one, Abul As bin Rabi was also known as a trustworthy one. He was a man of integrity and honesty, and in his business also, he dealt like this with honesty and integrity. Now, his khala, his mother's sister, was Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. So he was Ma Khadija's nephew. His mother was Hala. Her name was Hala. Right? So this is why Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala requested Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get Zainab radiallahu ta'ala married to him. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he was the Nabi of Allah ta'ala and the man of the house, etc., but if there was sound advice coming from any of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never found it below himself to accept the mashwara of his wife. So he accepted this mashwara and he got her married to Abul As bin Rabi. So she was very young at that time. She was very, very young. And due to her tender age, she didn't go to stay with her husband. She still lived under the care of her parents. At a later stage, during the Makkan period, while they were still in Makkah Mukarramah, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha went to live with her husband Abul As bin Rabi. And when she was going, then her honorable mother, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, gave her personal necklace. You know, in our times also, the girl is going, then the granny will give something. Say, no, this is, you know, from the granny, this is from the mother. So Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, she took out her personal necklace and she gave it to her eldest daughter when she was leaving home and going to stay with her husband. Now, Abul As bin Rabi, we will come back to him, very, very interesting aspects with regards to him. We'll come back to him just now. But just to understand Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala and her support of her father, Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what she was exposed to from a very tender age, a very young age. The Quraysh, they were very upset with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? They opposed Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one time, they were harming Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This used to happen, you know, very, very often, that they would harm Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there is this one incident that is mentioned by Harith bin Ibn al-Harith. He relates that himself and his father, they entered Makkah Mukarramah, and they found a man surrounded by people. People had surrounded him, and they were insulting him, They were, you know, calling him all sorts of things, and they were hurting him. Now obviously, this was none other than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today's time, if somebody have to just tell us one word because of our deen or something, we get upset, we get pulled up. But look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he had to endure in order to propagate the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So they continued, you know, insulting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hurting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right up till noon. So at noon time, the people dispersed. They left Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately, Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who at this time, she's a small girl, small little child, small daughter, she comes running. I mean, obviously she's been seeing how her beloved father was being tormented. Now she comes running to her father. She's got, you know, a cloth in her hand, and she's got a bowl of water. And she's rushing to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this haste of hers, even her scarf exposed her chest a little bit, you know, her neck, the neck portion, the scarf, you know, it moved a little bit. So she came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank some water. She took the scarf, you know, wiping Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Mubarak face, etc. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now on the one hand, he must have been so touched by the gesture of this daughter. On the other hand, he is, you know, no father wants the child to see the father in that type of a condition, you know, that what my child must be going through emotionally, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her that, oh my beloved daughter, put your scarf right, you know, make your scarf right again, and don't fear destruction for your father. Don't fear destruction. I mean, that will be the fear of the child. So he says to her, don't fear destruction for your father. So Ma Zainab, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, we understand from there, one is her love for her father. The other thing is her courage. Her courage that in the face of those enemies, she put her life in danger just to go and give support to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, if we look at it, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ostracized in the valley of Abu Talib, with his family, he was ostracized there. The Banu Hashim were ostracized for 3 long years. No food was allowed to go to them, etc. Here again, these masum children, masum daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had to undergo hardship only because they were Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters. They had committed no crime, did absolutely nothing wrong. But they displayed a high level of perseverance and sabr in the face of these adversities. There is a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that those who undergo the most severe hardships are the Anbiya alayhimus salam. And then those who are the most pious, they will undergo the second most. Though, you know, al-amthal fal-amthal, each one will, the more pious a person is, the more closer a person is to Allah Ta'ala, the more hardships the person will have to undergo. So we can imagine that how much hardships the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent. But owing to her Islam, owing to her sacrifices for deen, and her being his beloved daughter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her also dearly. Right? The family of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went through extreme challenges when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling people towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala. At that time, Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha, her nikah was made to, as we said before, Abul As bin Rabi. The other two daughters of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their nikah was made to, or they were like proposed to be married to the sons of Abu Lahab. So the Quraysh went to Abu Lahab and they convinced him that must get your sons to divorce the daughters of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They hadn't started living with them as yet, but the marriage was already like teshuda, you know, it was like agreed now that they're going to be married. So they went, the sons of Abu Lahab went and divorced the daughters of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they went and cornered Abu al-As bin Rabi, the husband of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So they went to him. He was not a believer as yet. He hadn't accepted Islam. They went to him and they urged him to divorce Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And they promised him that we will get you married to whichever woman you want. The most beautiful of women from the Quraysh we will bring to you. Whoever you want to get married to, you get married to her, but you divorce the daughter of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu al-As bin Rabi, you know, Allah Ta'ala guided him. It was his khush kismat, his good fortune, that he didn't fall for their tricks. He didn't fall for what they were saying. He flatly refused. And he took an oath in Allah Ta'ala's name. Although he was not a Muslim, but they believed in an Allah. He took an oath in Allah's name. And he said that it will not please me to have in lieu of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha any other woman. You can bring the most superior woman of the Quraysh. I will not divorce Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Abu al-As, he was not a believer at the time, but he showed this loyalty to his wife. He showed this loyalty to his father-in-law, to Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this loyalty was admired. And later on we will see how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, you know, honored him because of this loyalty that he showed. But we fast forward a little bit. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah. He went away to Madina Munawara. And his family also went away. As Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she was barred. She was refused that she can't make hijrat. Now imagine the whole family is gone. She now one girl, young girl, now she's left behind there in Makkah Mukarramah. Khair, discontinued, she's living with her husband Abu al-As in Makkah Mukarramah. And at that time, must remember, you know, it was the early days of Islam. All the ahkam that a Muslim woman cannot be married to a mushrik man, etc., those ahkam were not in place as yet. Those ahkam were still to come later on. So this is how come she was still living with her husband, despite him being a mushrik and she was a Muslimah. Khair, we fast forward a little bit. After 1 year, the Battle of Badr took place. Abu al-As bin Rabi, he takes part in the battle on the side of the kuffar. He's fighting against the Muslims. And he is also captured amongst the captives of Badr. He is one of the people who is also captured. So at that time, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made mashwara, etc. with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and it was decided that they will take a ransom for these prisoners. The prisoners will have to pay a ransom. So Abu al-As bin Rabi, he also now had to pay a ransom. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she now has to arrange some ransom money for her husband. So she takes that same necklace. She takes the same necklace which her honorable mother had given her, Ma Khadija Ranana, and she sends it to ransom her husband. Now see here also the loyalty of the wife towards the husband. That he was good to her. Yes, he was a non-Muslim, but he was good to her. He was loyal to her family. And now the situation comes that he is in prison. She is prepared to go to any lengths, whatever lengths, right, to get him free, to you know, secure his freedom. So her own jana, her own jewelry, what her mother gave her, how much of you know, memories in that jewelry. And her mother now was late now. But she sent that jewelry, she sent that necklace. So khair, now as the people were paying for their freedom, they were getting their freedom, and eventually this necklace was now brought. When this necklace was presented to Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately it brought back all those memories of Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and how Ma Khadija had given the daughter the necklace. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very emotional. He teared. And then he spoke to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and he said, look, will you all mind freeing this prisoner without taking any ransom? Referring to Abul As bin Rabi, that free him, only if you all approve, I will free him without taking any ransom. Thus, Abul As was freed without any ransom. The Sahaba readily agreed. And that necklace was returned. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him the necklace. Said, no, please, go and give my Zainab back this necklace. Abul As had showed, you know, his loyalty, his genuineness, by not divorcing the daughter of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here, Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is repaying that kindness, repaying that honor to him. And then Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends him off, but at the same time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes him promise that see, when you go to Medina Munawara, you will send my Zainab to me. Send Zainab radiallahu ta'ala to me. So Abul As bin Rabi, true to his word, he gave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam his word. He goes to Makkah Mukarrama and then he prepares Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala to make her hijrat now and go away to Medina Munawara. She leaves Makkah Mukarrama with the intention of making hijrah. The Quraysh get wind of this. There's a person by the name of Habbar bin Aswad. He catches up with them. And he is preventing her from making hijrah. She is seated on her camel. She is expecting at the time. She's expecting at the time. She's seated on the camel. And he is now stopping the camel from going and he's poking the camel with the spear or the arrow or something. He's poking the camel until this camel now it got wild, jumped and dropped Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha down on the floor. This resulted in Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha miscarrying. She lost her baby, right? And she was, you know, bleeding also profusely. And in this condition, they carried her back to Makkah Mukarrama. When she came to Makkah Mukarrama, on the one side, the Banu Hashim, the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they saying, no, she's our daughter, she must stay with us. The other side, the Banu Umayya, they say, no, she's our daughter-in-law, she has to stay with us. So, eventually she had to stay with the Banu Umayya. Hind bint Utbah bin Rabi'a kept her and she would keep rubbing salt in the wounds. That, yeah, you see all this happened to you because of your father. All this happened to you, trying to poison her mind against Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't leave things like this. He made arrangements for the hijrat of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. What he did, he sent Hazrat Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala to Makkah Mukarramah and he gave him, Nabi Sassaram gave Hazrat Zaid his personal ring. So she will know that these people have come from my father. How else was he going to get the news to her? There's no cell phones and all of that. So he sent Hazrat Zaid bin Haritha with his ring. So Zaid radiallahu anhu also, he came now very covertly, you know, they mustn't spot him. He came, and what he did, he waited in the outskirts until the person who was the shepherd of the sheep of Abul As bin Rabi and Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, he brought the sheep to graze. So Zaid radiallahu anhu got around the shepherd and told the shepherd, see, I want you to give Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha this ring. So she got the message now. Her husband had already given her permission. Abul As bin Rabi gave her permission. She can make hijrat. As soon as she received the ring, so now she found out the whereabouts. She asked the shepherd, this person who gave you the ring, where can I find him? And then she waited. She waited for night. Imagine what courage. Today's time, our ladies, bichara, daytime, even if it's night time, but the lights are on in the house, everything. One small gecko must come in the house. Khalas. That's our courage. No? Imagine the daughter of Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She's still in her teens. It's a young girl. Right? Work it out. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam got nubuwat age 40. She was plus minus 10 years old. Right? So when all this is happening, she's still in her teens. And now in the night alone, she comes out to go and meet with Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala, and then they make hijrah and they come away to Madina Munawara. So this is how she reached Madina Munawara. Underwent great sufferings for the cause of the deen of Allah ta'ala, ill-treated and persecuted, injured and wounded, abused and maltreated, only for this reason that she is the flesh and blood of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, we make bold claims that I am ummati of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we are just asked to give up one guna, just one sin we must give up, or one sunnah we must adopt, where is our loyalty? Where is our loyalty? So we continue with her honorable life. Abul As, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had praised him because he kept his word. On the one hand, he didn't divorce Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. On the other hand, when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that I'm letting you go, I'm giving the necklace back to you, but when you go home, send my daughter to me. So he kept to his word. He was an honest person. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I married my daughter to Abul As bin Rabi. He gave me his word and he was true to it. He promised me and he fulfilled his promise. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam appreciated this fact. And we learn from their honesty, integrity, loyalty. Khair Abul As, he remained on his shirk. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha had come away now to Madina Munawara, reunited with her father, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Few years later, 2 years before Fateh Makkah, Abul As bin Rabi departed on a business trip to Sham. The Quraysh had invested some wealth with him, etc. When he completed his business, he was on his way back. A detachment of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who were dispatched by Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they intercepted him. Right? So this, now imagine how Allah works. This detachment also was led by Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. And now, these people are captured. Whatever goods, whatever they had, all this was brought. All this happened in the 6th year of Hijri, Jamadul Ula. Abul As, however, he managed to escape. He outran them. And he managed to escape. So later on, at night, see, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, she escaped at night. Abul As bin Rabi, at night time, quietly he came inside Madina Munawara and he went to the house of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. So she gave him protection. She gave him protection. He was looking for his goods, he's telling her what happened, right? So she gave him protection in the house. Next morning, those days the ladies too used to come for salah, right? So next morning, after Fajr namaz, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, she shouted out. She said that, oh people, I have given amnesty to Abul As. Because now he's an enemy in Muslim territory. Right? But if a Muslim, any Muslim, gives amnesty, gives safety to anybody, that person is safe. Nobody can touch him now. So she made this announcement in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around. He said, you take a qasam in Allah's name. He said, I wasn't even aware of this. Till I heard this, I wasn't aware. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to the home. Right? He advised Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha that see, be hospitable to Abul As. He's your prisoner now, he's in your home, yeah? Be hospitable. But he can't touch you. Because now, you're not permissible for one another. He is a mushrik, you are a muslima. You're not permissible for one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sent for that detachment. And he said, look, you all took his goods. If you all don't mind, you can return the goods to him. Right? Now, must remember the Quraysh had invested in all this. Right? So, they returned the goods happily. Sahaba, they returned the goods. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set him free. With his goods, everything set him free. So, he paid him back for the loyalty that he showed. Abul As bin Rabi, this was now his moment when Allah Ta'ala, you know, chose Hidayat for him. Right? His time for Hidayat came. That's why I say it was his khush kismati. That he didn't divorce the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He showed his loyalty. Right? So now his moment came. So he took all these goods, everything, and he went back to Makkah Mukarramah. He went to Makkah Mukarramah and he gave the Quraysh, whoever had invested, whatever the returns are, everything, he gave it to them. Right? And he then, after he gave them everything, he returned the amanat to them. Then he announced publicly, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And then he told them, he said, by Allah, nothing prevented me from embracing Islam by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for the fear that you might think that I wanted to steal your wealth. That's why I went away there, I embraced Islam, now I say, y'all's wealth is booty for me now. So I didn't want that. So after Allah Ta'ala has returned your wealth to you, I am completed with this amanat, I have now embraced Islam. Then Abul As bin Rabi radiallahu anhu journeyed back to Madina Munawara. He goes to Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he formally now, you know, takes, you know, brings iman at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then takes his daughter, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, and returns her to Abul As bin Rabi. Now what a journey, their marriage, what a journey it took. Right? And now they were united once again. Right? Abul As, now is radiallahu ta'ala, he returned to Makkah Mukarramah. At a later stage he came, he settled in Madina Munawara, and he passed away in Zulhijjah 12 Hijri, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Right? Abul As was a wealthy trader. So, the last few years of her honorable life, when she was reunited now with her husband, she lived a very comfortable life. Right? So, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who was a young boy in the khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I saw Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala wearing a striped silk dress, an expensive garment. Abul As bin Rabi, he looked after her also well. So we learn from there that if Allah Ta'ala has blessed somebody, then there's nothing wrong if a person dresses well, a person uses the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala gave. Only thing is, we must not be what you call extravagant, wasteful, and never ever let the love of these things come in our heart. Don't hanker behind these things. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has provided, use it and make shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When it comes, normally when you discuss the life of anybody, then you come to the physical appearance. That what was the physical appearance of that person? But when we study the lives of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, or the daughters of Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any of the sahabiyat, radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, then we don't find any physical appearance. Because Allah Ta'ala has made woman an article of concealment. So we don't find any elaborate, what you call, description. Yes, you may find some little description, like Ma'isha radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sassam used to call her Humaira because she had some redness in her complexion. Fair complexion, there's some redness. So Nabi Sassam used to call her Humaira. Ma Sa'uda radiallahu ta'ala was tall. Ma Safiya radiallahu ta'ala was shorter compared to the other Ummatul Mumineen. So you'll get some little description like that. But more than that, you won't find, you know, detailed description of any of the Sahabiyat, because they are a matter of concealment. So our women also, we must take lesson from here. Today's time, Allah, Allah, what is happening on social media, on Facebook, ladies, or sometimes a lady is in parda also and she's taking a photo of herself. Would her niqab want also, she's taking, the lady wants to do some baking, cooking, whatever. Now she's taking a photo of herself and she's putting on Facebook and Instagram. Where is the haya gone? It's total bihayai. Allah Ta'ala protect us. The children, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, she had three children from Abul As bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala. One child's name was Adi. One child's name was Adi. Another child's name was Umama, right? Radiallahu anhuma. And the third child, the name is not really mentioned, said this child passed away in infancy. But we will come to the incident of how this child passed away, right? So, Ali was born in Makkah Mukarramah. He was brought up under the guardianship of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some state that he passed away in the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and others state that no, he passed away just before he became baligh. Right? Sayyida Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the eldest daughter. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once he received one gift. It was a necklace made of a certain precious stone. Right? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got this necklace, then he said, I am certainly going to give this necklace to the most beloved family member of mine. So everyone thought that Ma'isha is going to receive this necklace. Because even Ummatul Mu'mineen knew that she was the most beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But to their surprise, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this necklace and he put on the neck of Sayyida Umama radiallahu ta'ala. The Nana put the necklace for his granddaughter. Right? What then? You know, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed love for his children, his grandchildren. Gee. Umama radiallahu anha, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would perform sajda while carrying her. He'd perform namaz while carrying her on his shoulders. He'll go into sajda, then he'd place her nicely on the ground and carry on with his namaz. Abul As, before he passed away, he bequeathed that his daughter must be given in the guardianship and the care of Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu. On the other hand, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala bequeathed to Ali radiallahu anhu. Imagine now, that if after she passes away, he has to marry again, he must get married to Umama radiallahu anhu. Right? Ali radiallahu ta'ala, in compliance with this bequest, got married to Umama radiallahu ta'ala in 12 AH. Right? And Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala was the wakil. He was the wakil. You know, all this has so much of meaning when it comes to what the Shias are saying. There's so much, we don't have the time to go into the details. But it has so much of meaning with regards to what the Shias are saying. It proves them totally off whatever they are concocting stories about Sahaba radiallahu anhu. However, in this marriage to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, she had no other children, no children in this marriage. However, after Ali radiallahu ta'ala passed away, she got married to Mughira bin Nawfal radiallahu ta'ala, right? And passed away while in his nikah. Umama radiallahu anha passed away while in his nikah. Right? So look at the family connections due to her marriage to Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha becomes Ali radiallahu anhu's mother-in-law. And Abul As bin Rabi becomes his father-in-law. Sayyida Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha is the cousin of Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And also their stepmother. She's their cousin, but she becomes their stepmother now after the nikah. Right? Jee, the name of the child who passed away in infancy, the name is not known, it's not mentioned in the books of hadith. However, the incident is mentioned. Usama bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala recalls that the child, infant child of Zainab radiallahu anha, Nabi Sallallahu's daughter, was on the verge of passing away. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha sent a message to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come quickly. When this message came, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the person who brought the message, go and give my daughter salams. Tell her she must adopt sabr. And tell her that whatever Allah Ta'ala takes belongs to him. And whatever Allah Ta'ala gives also belongs to him. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Everything has got an appointed time. فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِمْ. Be patient, adopt sabr, and be hopeful of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us what great lessons in this. So the messenger goes back to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha and gives this message. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, needing her father's support, she says, go and tell my father that I'm asking him in Allah's name he must come. When this message comes to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wakes up. The other sahaba radiallahu anhum who were there, they too wake up. They go with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes there. The baby is put into a lap. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa grandchild put into his Mubarak lap. The child was already in the throes of death, battling to breathe. The last moments, and then next thing, the child went lifeless. Lifeless. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arms, tears began to stream down Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face. Somebody asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, Ya Rasulullah, you crying? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is rahmah. This is rahmah, is mercy. Allah Ta'ala puts it in the hearts of his servants. So we see, you know, on the one hand, they went through so much of qurbani for deen. But that didn't mean that they were not going to face any other trials of life. Today's time, you hear so many people, but Morana, how much sabr I must make? I'm reading namaz, I'm waking up for tahajjud too, I'm making dua, I'm giving sadqa too, I'm feeding the birds in the yard too, but that thing is coming right. We must do all of this for the pleasure of Allah. Doing all of this doesn't mean we're not going to face any situation in our life. Allah Ta'ala has promised to test us. And we see the household of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much they're being tested. And the closer we are to that household, we too will be tested. In different ways. We don't ask for tests. We don't ask for tests. But if Allah puts a test on us, then we must adopt sabr. During her hijrat, when Hazrat Zainab was making a hijrat, and she was wounded at the hands of the enemy, this wound never really healed. She was wounded, and she fell from the camel. It didn't really heal. And in the end, it was due to this wound that she succumbed to this injury and she passed away. Right? This was in the 8th year Hijri. This is why ulama are of the opinion that she passed away a martyr, because she passed away from a wound which she sustained from the side of the kuffar during her hijrah. So they say in her maut, and in the mouth of Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a resemblance. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given poison by the Jewess. Right? And that poison, the effect of it, never really leave the Mubarak body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing away, he mentioned about that poison. And if a person is poisoned, then that is also a type of a martyrdom, right? So in that way, she resembles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a harm that was caused to them in their life by the enemy became the bahana, became the reason, the excuse for their end, their last moments, and through that they were given the rank of shahadat also. So she shares that with Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was grief stricken at the demise of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. At that time, two of her sisters were still alive. Hazrat Ruqayyah radiallahu anha had already passed away, but Umm Kulthum and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were alive. Right? During this adversity, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a valuable lesson about mourning the deceased. He said, the tears that flow from the eyes and the grief that is in the heart are all due to mercy. Right? Whatever wrong is done by the hands or uttered by the tongue, that is from shaitan. So a person can tear, you can feel sad, but don't utter and do anything that is contrary to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the woman that they must give ghusl to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Wash her with water and sidr. Sidr is lotus tree leaves. Put it in the water. They never had soap and all things like how we have in today's zamana. Wash her 3 times, 5 times or more if you see it necessary. He told them also in the last washing include some camphor also. Right? He also educated them that start from the right limbs, as when we make wuzu, we start from the right side. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam waited till they were finished. And now they needed the kafan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then removed his garment and sent it for them and said, make this her kafan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have given them the kafan earlier on. But he wanted that till the last, you know, possible time that material must be on his Mubarak body. And from his Mubarak body immediately must go on to her, so she gets the blessings of the garment of Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hazrat Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha, she suggested that, you know, a bier must be made to carry the body for parda purposes, right? So that was done. She saw this happening in Abyssinia. So she said, this is a very good thing. So this was made and the bier was brought. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janaza salah of his daughter. Right? This is a great honor attained only by special people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janaza. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was heartbroken. His eldest daughter, whom he loved dearly, had passed away. Grief-stricken, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the qabristan to put his daughter in the qabr. You know, a parent, one of the most difficult things. And if you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't do it only once. His parents too went in the qabr before he passed away. His children too all went in the qabr. He lost wives also. This is why they say, I remember one of our Ustad, Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib, down Barakatu, he mentioned in one bayan of his, one Sira bayan, he said, no matter what problem you're going through, if you study the Sira of Huzur e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through the similar, if not the same problem, and to a much higher degree. And this is to give the ummah solace. That if I am going through this, my pyare Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also went through this. He also went through this. This gives us, you know, it gives us that ability to make sabr. That my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also went, we be consoled with that. Get some solace through that. Right? So So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the qabr. Anas radiallahu ta'ala and says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grief stricken, he went into the qabr. But when he came out, his Mubarak face was radiant. He was delighted. Anas radiallahu anhu relates that they asked, Ya Rasulullah, we saw you so grief stricken. Now you came out, we didn't even have the courage to speak to you. But now you came out, you are so happy. What is the reason for this? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, the narrowness and squeeze of the grave was playing on my mind. I know my daughter Zainab, she was a soft person, and I was so worried that now the qabr is going to squeeze her. I made dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, make it easy for her. And my Allah has accepted that dua. Father's concern is for the akhirat of his child. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, the concern should be for the akhirat. Today we are taking our daughters, putting them in high schools, putting them in universities, sometimes sending them out of the country. Allahumma fasna. Out of the province. No, my daughter must get an education. What education is that? That is not an education. Our fikr should be for their akhirat. Now what she went through, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is still worried about the squeezing in the qabr. And we not worried what's going to happen to our children in the qabr? So we must have concern for our children. These are great lessons from the life of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala. Just to conclude, we belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and our view regarding all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala is that we love all of them dearly. Right? We pray for Allah Ta'ala to be pleased with them and have mercy upon them. We recognize their virtues, we acknowledge their seniority, and we tell people of their good character. The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not regard it as permissible to discuss the disputes that arose among them, except in a manner that befits their high status. It is our belief that Allah Ta'ala has promised the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala forgiveness, He has assured them Jannah, and announced His pleasure with them. It is our duty to make dua for them and to defend them when their reputation is being attacked. So this was a brief biography of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. These are her virtues, excellences. She is among the Ahl Bayt and from among the Sahabiyat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'een. She bore adversities and difficulties for the sake of Allah's deen. Steadfastness coupled with istiqamat and perseverance was her outstanding trait. The benevolent gaze of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained upon her until her demise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to her with the unique compliment, my most superior daughter, due to her sacrifices. May Allah ta'ala fill our hearts with love and reverence for Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. May we take inspiration from her life and emulate her to the best of our ability. May Allah Ta'ala unite us in Jannah with all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Also we express our shukr to this Al-Faruq Institute for arranging all these Sahaba jalsas, for preparing all the subject matter, etc. And this has made it possible for us to sit and make muzakara of her honorable life. Allah Ta'ala accept so many ulama gone around the country and also abroad, other countries also, all speaking on these similar topics. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accept all the efforts. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our hidayat, make it a means of our salvation, make it a means of us getting closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala and Huzur-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, نستغفرك ونتوب إليه. Allah Ta'ala grant you al-jazai khair also for attending, and Allah Ta'ala reward Hazrat Maulana and his family for allowing us the use of their home also. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب
Not to forget, inshallah, remind the men folk after Maulid.